It's good to see you here this morning. Thank you for coming, being a part of our service. Pray the Lord will bless you for your efforts in being here today. Wanted to continue in the book of Romans on the cost of grace. We began to deal with that last week, and we talked about there's no free lunch. There's no such thing as a cheap grace. God paid a tremendous price so that we could enjoy the benefits of His presence. And we were talking about how the Romans were similar to what we are today. I mean, they were having battles with law, they were having issues, and there were people that were telling them they're not saved because they don't do this, or because they're not circumcised properly, or all these things that man was saying to them, and they were confused. Now, I really believe if people can get a real glimpse of who God really is, they would love Him forever. Because He's not what men portray Him to be sometimes. But we begin to talk about the cost of grace. So today I want to start with the need of grace. So let's go back to Romans. Romans chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1. We read some of these last week, but for reference sake, let's look at them again this morning. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Therefore being justified by faith." Now, I want to just say this. Last week, you remember we talked about the Reformation time when Martin Luther had nailed that thesis to the door because he had studied and learned that salvation wasn't by works. It was by grace. It was by the mercy of God. It was by we were justified in God's eyes by His love and by His mercies, not by what we do. And that caused a roar among the religious world, because in the religion world, there needs to be something you do. We don't do anything, I want you to get this, to be saved. As far as our efforts, if you'll do this, then the only thing we do to be saved is call on the name of the Lord and say, "God, I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me." And He forgives us. But it's not that we work our way into salvation. It's not that we work our way into heaven, because guess what? There's no way we can do that. And from the beginning of time until now, there's always been that struggle. We talked about last week, that inner struggle of flesh and spirit warring against one another. Am I praying enough? Am I doing enough? Am I good enough? And if we have a bad day, then we feel like we got to go to the back of the line and start over because we're not good enough. I want you to understand this, if you don't get anything else, your salvation is not based on how good you are. It's based on how good God is. And I want you to remember that. So Paul is writing. These people are discouraged. They're kind of, some of them mean falling away. And the Bible says that in the last days there'll be a great falling away, because men that search for works rather than relationship with God will always come up empty. James was talking about this morning in the Sunday school class how they were talking about worshiping God. 500 years before Jesus even got here, they were worshiping Him. They were building relationship with Him. To know Him in the fullness of relationship is the greatest experience that you'll ever have in your life. We come to church because of relationship. We pray because of relationship. We try to do good because of relationship. That's not what saved us. What saved us is the love and mercy of God. Now, what we've all got to do is become real with ourselves and real with our battles within us, because every one of you war something on the inside of you. Every one of us. One time Paul prayed and he said, "Lord, take this thorn away from me." And the Lord said, "I'm not going to take it away from you." But what else did He tell him? "My grace is sufficient." You'll always have something to war in yourself with. And the cost of grace is beyond what we can even think or imagine, because God gave everything so that you could come to Him because of grace. And so Paul's writing here in the Romans, he says, therefore being justified by faith. You remember what we said last week? Justification means just as if I had never sinned. When you call on God and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins, you know what He does? He restores you back into the original image of what He created you to be in the garden. You say, yeah, but I got all these problems. I got all these issues. Yeah, you want to know why? Because in this flesh, we will always be cursed. That's the beauty of heaven. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more sorrows, for the former things are passed away. How many of you know that's in the Bible? But we war in this flesh, and you will always war, because when you were born cursed. What does that mean? That means that this flesh always has the detour to go wrong instead of right. Your mind always is trying to lead you wrong instead of right. Your body is always trying to lead you wrong, and you're going to have that battle until the Lord comes back. So God gave us grace to help us, to enable us to war that battle, to recognize that we in ourselves are nothing, but with God all things are possible. How many of you believe that this morning? So you're justified by faith. Faith in a relationship with a God who you believe. When you ask the Lord to save you, you know, one of the first things the enemy will do when you ask the Lord to come in your heart, maybe you have a thought of what you used to do, or maybe you do something that you used to do, or maybe you make a mistake, or whatever you want to call it. And the first thing the devil will tell you, see, you're not even saved. Has he ever told you that lie? And you say, well, yeah, I did slip. I did do this. I did do that. So I guess maybe I'm not saved. Maybe I'm just not. You know what? That's exactly what the enemy wants you to believe. How many of you believe that God's going to save you, and then just because you make a mistake, He's going to take it all away? You'd have got children. You know, they're the sweetest little things, but then sometimes they do wrong, and you're going to take something away from them. You're not going to take your love from them. You're not going to take you being a mom or daddy from them, are you? You're not going to throw them out the door and say, well, you made a mistake, so you're not a part of me no more. No, you're not going to do that, because your love goes beyond. It's unconditional. They're always going to be yours, no matter what. And so God wants you to understand that you're always His. And one of the struggles that Christians have every day, am I saved? Am I really right with God? I don't really feel God. I don't really feel this, right? You know, I'm having these bad thoughts. And, if I had those thoughts, would I really be saved? Listen, because of the Holy Spirit, this world is being held together right now. Listen to me. Because of the Holy Spirit, we see evil now, and doesn't it seem like over the past few years there's been a little bit more evil, a little bit more evil? The enemy's getting a little braver. You know what's happening? God's lifting that Holy Spirit veil a little bit more just to show you. But as long as the Holy Spirit is here on this earth, He's going to restrain evil. How many of you know that? He's going to take care of us. But if it weren't for God, you see these things on TV, these people that do these mass murders. Oh, how in the world can a human being do that? That's when their minds have been given over to evil. I want to tell you, the greatest experience you'll ever have with God is learning how to live for God. God wants you to understand that He wants you to walk with Him every day, the good days and the bad days. God does not stop loving you when you struggle. And every one of us struggle with something. It may be a habit. It may be a problem. It may be something in our mind. But every one of us struggle with something. So you got to understand that you are justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 2 says, by whom we have access by faith into this grace. I want to talk about access right there for just a second this morning. As we talk about the need of grace, When Adam and Eve did what they did in the garden, God could have turned his back on us and said, I'm done. I'm through. I gave you a chance. You didn't do it. But that's not the kind of God that we serve. The cost of grace is beyond what man could even think. There's no amount of money or whatever in the world that can pay for grace. Only Jesus' death on the cross could pay for grace. You want to know why? Because there was such a need. I want you to understand this morning that every day you live, you need grace. Do you know that's why God despises rebellion? Do you know that's why God said that rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft? You know, when people rebel, or when they get prideful, or when they just bow up in themselves, they think themselves more highly than they ought. Isn't that what the Bible says? That's a terrible thing, because when you get to the point that you point your finger, you say, I have reached the level of perfection, and now I can judge you. I want to tell you this right now, nobody has ever reached that level. We need grace because of the word access. Now, what does that word mean? It means to enter in. Up until God's love and mercy, we were doomed. You see, we got the privilege of serving God and loving Him and coming to church and worshiping Him. We have such a privilege. What if we didn't have that? What if it was like the days of Noah, when they were eating and drinking and doing all they wanted to do and partying, and they were laughing at Noah, and all of a sudden the rain started coming. And you remember what happened? What happened to the door on the ark? Anybody remember? God shut the door. You remember that? He shut that door, and when He shut that door, He closed access. Up until that time, they had opportunity to get on that ark, but they didn't do it. They blowed it away. And they were doomed. And everybody lost their life but Noah and his family. I want you to listen to me today. We need grace. If you don't get nothing else out of this, get this right here this morning. Because of the lost presence of God. I want you to know I fear the thought of trying to raise my family and trying to be what I need to be without His presence. Without His presence, we are nothing. Without His presence, your bank account wouldn't be what it is. Without His presence, you wouldn't live where you live. Without His presence, you wouldn't have the energy to do what you do. God is everything. Are you listening to me today? And to lose that, to get up and walk through this world without that umbrella of the protection of God, what in the world would that be? This world's coming to that. You know that? During the time of tribulation, God's going to rapture His church away, and then for a season, the enemy's going to be loosed. And I don't want to be here, do you? I don't want to catch the second bus. I want to be on the first bus, don't you? Because I don't want to sit around and wait and see what happens. Because I got enough sense to know that I can't make it without His presence. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. In His presence, there's provision. In His presence, there's power. In His presence, there's healing. In His presence, there's deliverance. If you're having a hard time in your home or going through a hard time, you get in there, you go in that house by yourself sometime, you grab, go to the kitchen cabinet, grab you some oil out of there. Y'all know where I'm going with this, don't you? You take that oil and you go around to the doorpost of your house and you put that little oil. Don't tell me I ain't done it. When I was trying to raise my boys and trying to get through life, there were times I was overwhelmed and I didn't know what to do and how to do it. And I said, Lord, I can't do this without You. So I'd go around. You remember in the Old Testament when it said, put the blood over the doorpost? Y'all remember that? Thank God for the blood. Amen. Thank God for the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you what the devil can't do. He can't go through the bloodline. How many of y'all know that? He's scared of the blood. Every time you take communion here, he shakes him up because he knows what that blood is. It's more powerful than he'll ever think about being. Hallelujah. I put that oil on that doorpost. It might be Crisco, but at that time it was anointed. Amen. And you go around there and you pray because you know what you're saying? You're saying, Lord, I can't do this, but you can. Lord, I can't do this, but you can. You might have to anoint your dashboard on your car. You might where you work at. Don't tell me I don't go in where I work at. And I go around and I'm praying. I say, Lord, fill this place with the four corners with angels. Amen? Amen. Fill this place. Used to be a lady, one of my professors, Dr. Moore was her name. She was real strong against witchcraft. And she would teach and preach against witchcraft. Well, I feel the press of God right now. She was so strong that the witches in Goldsboro, how many of you know there's witches in Goldsboro? Big time. And it's not just Halloween either. Hello? It's not just Halloween. They're around here. There's evil all around us. Amen? And you know what? She would teach against that, and she would get dolls in the mail with needles in them. She showed them to us. They would send them and put them in the mailbox, and there would be needles in them. And the needles were representing pain trying to come to her body. But it never happened. One day they saw her going. She had an old Chevrolet. I want to think it's like a 68, 69 old Chevrolet. And she drove that thing around. I bet it had 1,000,000 miles on it because she drove it everywhere. And one day somebody said, Dr. Moore, I seen you come by. She was a precious lady. Said, I seen you come by. And you know what I saw on top of your car? She said, what? Saw three angels on one side and three angels on the other side. And they had their hand on the top of your car. And they were guiding you. And she said, I know that. Because I prayed they would help me. Let me tell you something. There's power in the name of Jesus. Do you hear me this morning? There's power in the name of Jesus. And he don't leave you nor forsake you. And he'll encamp angels about you and about your family. You can't be with your children at school all day, but he can. He can walk with them down that hall. You can send the Holy Spirit all over that place. I'm telling you, there's power in the name of Jesus. We need the presence of God. Amen. Why do we need grace? Because without grace, we lose that presence of God. We would be separated. You know what it means to be separated from God? Do you remember the story in the Bible of the rich man and Lazarus? You remember that story, how the rich man's in hell and he's in torment, the Bible says. And he says, just dip your finger in water and touch the top of my... He says, because I'm tormented in these flames. What does that represent? Separated from God. One of the greatest things we have is intimacy with God. When you get up in the morning and you start on your way to work, instead of sitting there and being overwhelmed with all your issues and all your problems and all your worries, turn that radio off. Put that phone down and listen to God. There's an intimate presence of God that nothing else in the world takes place. Amen? There's nothing like, he knows you're overloaded. He knows you got more on you than you can bear. He knows that you're about to go down for the third time. But when you know that he's there, because he's an intimate God, and the Bible says he's touched with our infirmities. I think about Jesus. Can you give me just a few more minutes? I think about Jesus. When God said, the world is doomed, he made that announcement to heaven that the world is doomed. Adam and Eve have disobeyed me and they have chosen to go the other way. All of a sudden, heaven stands still. What are we going to do? Adam and Eve at that point had now gained their knowledge, and now they clothe themselves with fig leaves and they're hiding from God. And God says, but I love them. And I'm not going to give up this easy. I need somebody that'll be my sacrifice for them. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus steps out of the background to the forefront and he said, I'll do it. You mean to tell me you're going to give up all this? This is heaven. This is everything. No sickness, no trouble, no problem. They chose to do that. You don't have to do this. Jesus said, I'll do it. Greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. We live in a nation that can't give God anything unless it's convenient. But we serve a God who gave us everything but convenience. And here's the part I want you to get. I feel his anointing in here today. He that knew no sin, holiness, purity. He that knew no sin became sin. We need to worship him, church. Amen. We need to worship him. He said, I'll do it. You mean you're willing to get dirty? You're willing to that all that sin, that everything in this world has got to be on your shoulders? I'm telling you something. He's a God that you just need to love over and over and over again. Man was separated. Then he was secluded. Because you remember he made him get out of the garden. What would it be to get out of the presence of God? And then the second thing was they lost the protection of God. The relationship that Adam and Eve did with Satan destroyed their relationship with God. But God loved them enough. They were doomed. And they were going to be destroyed by sin. But Jesus came out and said, I'll go. The cost of grace is that God has given you a way. The Bible says he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man enter in but by him. I want to read a scripture to you. In Galatians chapter 5 verse 13. It says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, not only use liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. What he's talking about there is, there's no such thing as cheap grace. He gave everything. Get this right here. I want to let this go loud and clear. I wish the whole America could hear this, what I'm about to say. He gave us grace to show us and prove to us we can live for him. Well, you know, you just don't know what I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I'm involved in. It's not that easy, preacher, just to turn over and just be good. Let me tell you something. None of us are good without God. Amen? Y'all ain't shouting me down this morning, but it's the truth. None of us are good without God. He's what makes us good, right? Amen. Because every one of us have issues. And the devil will tell you, you can't live that life. You can't do that. Them old goody two-shoes sitting up in that church, they don't have problems like you have. That's not real life. That's what the devil wants you to think. He that knew no sin, became everything you are right now, went through everything you've gone through, and more, to prove to you, you can make it. You can make it today because why? Because you've got grace. And some people cheapen grace. They cheapen it by doing what they want to do, and then when they mess up, they say, okay, God, your grace covers all this. No, that ain't what God's talking about. God's talking about a relationship that you really, really in your heart know what's right. And I'm going to close with this. You can't tell me in America that everybody in their heart knows right and wrong. Everybody knows what's right. And there's an enemy that's going to fight you forever to tell you you're not good enough, you don't have what it takes, you can't do this, you got this problem, and you got that problem. Well, can I remind you that the Bible's written full of men that had problems? Every one of those men had problems. Anybody here ever murdered anybody? The guy that was writing this book that we're reading from today was a murderer. I mean, they had issues. They had problems. Moses had a drinking problem. He'd get drunk, tear his clothes off. He had problems. Every one of them had problems. Well, how did they live it? They didn't live it by themselves. They had a friend that sticks closer than a brother, which is Jesus Christ, and he helps you. And what I love about him, when you start letting him take control of your life, he brings you out of a mess that you thought you could never get out of. And when you got out of it, you realize, well, that won't do me any good at all. Have y'all ever had friends that you thought they're real? They're your friends. You know why they're your friends? Because you're doing everything they want you to do. You ever had them friends? Have you ever had a friend that you said no, then they weren't your friend anymore? You remember when we were coming up in school, you had the car, you had the job. They didn't have a car nor a job. That should have been a light to us. So you carried them everywhere. And then when you couldn't carry them nowhere, they weren't your friends no more. See, God ain't like that. He don't leave you when you have problems. He don't leave you when you fall on your face and you make a mistake. Peter one day said, Lord, I tell you what, everybody else might deny you, but I'm not going to ever deny you. Peter, don't talk about, son. You don't know what to talk about. You do not know what to talk about because you are going, I'm not me. And it happened. Did Jesus walk away and shake his head and say, yeah, I told you about that. I knew you were nothing. No, he didn't do that. He was the man who preached on the day of Pentecost in the New Testament church was there. From a guy who cussed the crowd out and said, I don't know. See, when you look at the Bible like it's really written, you realize that it's just people like you and me. And God gave us grace. Just as if we had never sinned, he gives us the opportunity to call on his name and to be a part of who he is. I thank him for that today. He's such a wonderful, wonderful Savior. I want you to stand to your feet. We're going to close with a song this morning. Draw Me Nearer. It's a beautiful song. A beautiful song. And this song says, draw me nearer. It just means, God, draw me closer to you. And as we sing this song, this altar's open this morning. It's available for whoever needs anything that you need from God. There'll be somebody here to help pray for you. Draw Me Nearer, page 265. Listen to the words of this beautiful song. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious feet. Verse number 2. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost. Amen. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious fleece. Heads bowed. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share your word today. Thank you, Lord, for the tremendous price that you paid on Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for all that you did for us. And Lord, if there be someone here today that is struggling in their heart, battling in their spirit, let them know they can be free. And as your heads are bowed this morning, no one looking around, you say, "Preacher, I just don't feel like I could walk to that altar this morning, but I really do need God to take charge in my life." Nobody's looking around. Nobody's going to know. And I promise you, I will not call you out. I will not embarrass you. Nobody will know but just you and God. But if you're here this morning and say, "I want God to change my life and I need him to help me," would you just lift that hand and say, "Pray for me." Thank God for the hands. Thank God for the hands. Thank God for the hands. Many hands were lifted today. And I tell you, this altar is still open today. Still open. We got time. We're not in such a hurry today that we don't have time to pray for you. So here's what I want to do. Sometimes it's a scary thing. It's a very scary thing. But I want you to take the hand of the one beside of you. And as you take that hand beside of you today, I want you to understand that person's going to be helping you and praying for you and giving you the strength you need. And as we pray this final prayer this morning, if you feel that you want to come and pray, you can. But I want to tell you this. Where you are right now, you can say this prayer. "Lord, I don't feel like today I can walk down to that aisle. But I do know what the preacher said is true. God, I am struggling. And God, I get so tired of the struggle. Because I know what's right. And I know what's wrong. And sometimes I get lost. God, I raise my hand today because I need you. I need you, God, to help me know how to pray. Help me know what to do. Help me know where to turn. And God, when I'm weak, help me to be strong. When I fall on my face, help me to get up and try again. Don't let me listen to the lie of the enemy that tells me I won't ever be any different. I won't ever be any better, because today I realize that's a lie. I am valuable. I am somebody because you died for me and you love me. And today, God, I raise my hand and I give you my heart. I call on your name and I give you my heart to help me be what I need to be. Father, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my problems. Forgive me of my failures. And help me, God, to be what I need to be. Give me the courage and give me the strength to try again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen." And I want you to know, if you prayed that prayer, God heard that prayer and he will honor that prayer and never leave you nor forsake you. God bless you.